Time to hit what is happening on the national stage. And it's part of a spotlight segment on Long Island number two this morning. That's where we bring in David Caputo. And what a job he has done as far as president emeritus of Pace University, the great Pace, and a retired Pace professor of political science, by the way. Always a pleasure. Haven't spoken to him in a while. He's been traveling a little bit, you see. But always great to have him back in the fold. And Dr. C, how are you?
I'm fine, Jay. Yourself?
I am doing well. Lots to discuss and everything else. You know, it almost seems like the administration is a work in progress as it tries to tweak here and there. And I'm talking about the latest of immigration deals and green cards and everything else. You know, it almost seems like there is an epiphany that comes across the administration and thus the implementation of an idea or two. Give me your take on things, my assessment overall, and what it all means.
Well, I think that the some of the recent changes and proposals regarding immigration are very consistent with the president's efforts to argue that if you're illegally in the country, you're going to be removed, and he's going to do whatever he can to try to change the type of individuals who are able to get into the country in terms of political asylum and so forth. So I think these are all very consistent. We'll see what kind of an impact they have. I think also this is all part of both playing to the base and also trying to broaden some of this to appeal to other people as we approach 2020.
No doubt about that. And, you know, it's interesting, the acting U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Director, King Cuccinelli, you know, he's basically saying these new regulations encourage, as he put it, David, self-reliance and self-sufficiency for those seeking to come to or stay in the United States. You know, interesting here, a lot of critics will say it just puts another chokehold on legal immigration, and that for no reason. I mean, basically, if you're an immigrant, it's, according to him, and basically the belief is you have no place in the country, and that's, you know, what it kind of comes down to as far as critics are concerned.
Yes, and it also, I think, emphasizes the fact that the United States does not have a consistent and clear immigration policy, a comprehensive immigration policy. And it's going to be very difficult to get one, as we've seen over the last 4 to 5 years. And this is not going to help in terms of people trying to move towards some kind of common ground. So I think this will remain an issue. It will remain a consistent issue of discontent between the parties and probably a major campaign issue in 2020.
And, you know, you mentioned a couple of key words, common ground, and certainly with what took place about 9 or 10 days ago in El Paso and Dayton, of course, the topic gun control, what needs to be done. You know, white supremacy, I mean, the back and forth, mainly the Beto O'Rourke's, Elizabeth Warren's, you know, listen, and I said it last week, the trying to capitalize on tragedies, there's just absolutely no need for. Fundraisers that Elizabeth Warren has based on this stuff when everything had happened. Beto O'Rourke, with some of the harshness coming out of his mouth, regarding the president's visit to El Paso last week. You know, the on and on and on it goes type stuff, tough to take. But the bottom line is, you know, when you see a Chuck Schumer and a Peter King, a senator and a congressman from both sides of the aisle trying to come together and asking a Mitch McConnell to get back into play again, out of recess, and let's get something done before reconvening September the 9th, you need something now. I mean, that kind of says it all. I mean, that sends a pretty clear message of what needs to be done, David.
Well, I think the dysfunctional aspects of the whole gun control issue and the shootings all are heightened by the rhetoric of both the president and also by many of his opponents. And there's, I think, a clear path towards some resolution of this. In terms of some passing of some greater restrictions. But whether or not that's going to happen, I think is very unlikely. I don't think Congress will be back early. I think once they are back, they'll have other things that they'll be looking at. It will be very interesting to see what happens. But it's a broader tone of just total discontent and disrespect for one another in terms of being able to get to any common ground. And we know the American public supports a variety of changes in terms of gun legislation. It has not happened. It's not unusual for it to happen, not to happen. So we get the various charges against each side by the other side. So till there's a continued outpouring of concern and wanting change on the part of the American public, I don't think you'll see much happen at this point.
So it's basically just standing still, an incident of this nature again, and nothing gets done. We saw what happened in Parkland, where the president convened the parents and everything else with questions, answers, what will be done. Nothing gets done. You could tell me about bump stocks and everything else. I thought the president was on point that 10-minute dissertation he gave on that Monday following the shootings with red flag laws, no-brainer. The Department of Justice with background checks and also mental illness reform, all on point. But then you have the head being raised again, the ugly as far as the NRA. And every time you bring up something of a background check, David Caputo, that rears its ugly head. And thus, a couple of steps taken back. You know, listen, there's something that needs to be done. And politicians, you can make the case. The intimidation factor has to be put on hold at this point. We know how powerful the NRA is. But, you know, I don't know if it's enough. You know, listen, nothing wrong with background checks. Nothing wrong with extensions and making sure one is of the right frame of mind as far as being able to possess a weapon.
Well, I think it's not just the NRA. I think it's also some of the conservative commentators who argue that the president must be very careful not to lose his base, even a small amount of the base, and therefore he can't really do some of the things that might be done. I would add the large capacity magazines also to the list that you have. In terms of things that people ought to be thinking about banning and controlling. So I think you'll see this as an issue. It'll be an issue that'll be emotional on both sides. Whether or not the pro and anti sides or who's able to mobilize the best, I think we'll see in the upcoming election.
Now listen, I said it the other day, you know, it's not about questioning the Second Amendment anymore as far as the right to bear arms. It's the right to bear arsenal. Of war. You know, I think that is the question right now. And speaking of that, you know, the president's first point regarding the DOJ, you know, you look at this shooting that took place in El Paso with the mother of this individual who had apparently made an inquiry to police regarding her child possessing this AK, and thus, you know, maybe some questions. Maybe she was a little worried. Was there an investigation? Was there an inquiry as far as enforcement to the Crucius home? Doesn't look like it. You know, there are so many flags that come in play within these incidents. You go back to Parkland and the Cruz house with the 43 visits by police. You know, the Dayton shooter and an ex-girlfriend stating this guy was a mental case. You know, he had a hit list. He wanted to take out male and female here, who pretty much wronged him over the years. You know, there are certain elements of speaking out and crying out, and yet these warnings just come and go. You know something? Department of Justice needs to do a better job, investigations and everything else.
Well, we'll see what finally gets resolved here, but I think it does go back to fundamental questions about whether or not you can or should try to control this type of behavior and whether or not law enforcement would be so busy trying to track down everything that it becomes impossible to do anything. So I think that what you see here is this is a fundamental issue, and you come down on either side. Either you're willing to say there have to be restrictions on Second Amendment rights or there are no restrictions at all. And the tendency has been towards the no restrictions. And I think that is changing. I think the electorate will probably be responsive to candidates who argue for a variety of reasonable changes, and we'll see what happens as we go forth.
David Caputo with us. We'll see what happens as far as the ramifications of Jeffrey Epstein's death, David. They're playing out in Washington. We see it before our eyes. You have the Attorney General now, William Barr, announcing the Justice Department is indeed opening an investigation into his suicide. You know, the president doesn't do anybody any favors here with the tweets and everything else, of course, fueling the conspiracy theory machine once again by promoting this baseless claim that the Clinton family was somehow linked to Epstein's death. You know, it's interesting with the questions that still linger over why he was not under a suicide watch at the time of his death. Big question there. And the other one, of course, is what will happen to legal cases against him. You know, I'm gathering that plaintiffs will still be able to sue his estate, and prosecutors could pursue some sort of related criminal cases involving some of his associates or employees. I think those two happenings are very real.
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt about it. When you think about high-profile people, certainly Jeffrey Epstein is, and his death, I think, raises a whole series of questions as to Bureau of Prison policies, why they were not more watchful of him, and the implications of it. And it comes at a time where it's only natural you're going to get these conspiracy theorists, both theories, both from the right and the left, and other people, because of his supposed relationship to a variety of rich and powerful individuals. The sad part of it is that for many of the victims, they're not going to get their time to see him have to deal with consequences. But more importantly, I think it also raises questions that if as a society, we're not able to protect the individuals that we need to protect when they need to come to trial and so forth, it raises a whole host of questions in terms of our ability to function. And I think this is what the Epstein case is so important. And I think it's also going to be difficult, despite the Attorney General's efforts, not to have it rest solely with the Republican administration, because it is on their watch. There is increasing information coming out that the facility was understaffed, that they had requested help and so forth. But even with all of that, the bottom line question is how, in good conscience, could you not be more attentive to an individual such as Epstein?
And that certainly is the case. David Caputo with us. You know, that brings me over to the candidates on the Democratic side of things. You know, I mean, does anyone know if the Iowa State Fair is still going on? I never saw a state fair that is just ongoing. I mean, day after day. My goodness, if I see one more candidate, you know, having a Zeppeli, you know, I'm going to go nuts. I mean, enough is enough. But I got to tell you something. How many more gaffes, David Caputo, are we going to see out of Joe Biden? And I made the point yesterday, you know, he made several errors, you know, with these speeches in Iowa, referring to white kids when he meant wealthy kids. He confused. I remember the British Prime Minister Theresa May with Margaret Thatcher, my goodness, and even erroneously stating that he was the vice president at the time of last year's Parkland shooting. Now, again, you know, you pick up on some of these things and you watch these two debates that took place in Miami, Detroit, and you have to wonder what's going on with Biden. Has he truly lost something? I mean, listen, the president stated off the fastball a little bit. But in your opinion, I mean, has Biden lost something here as he makes his trek towards maybe a nomination?
Well, I think if you look at the history of Vice President Biden, as he will admit, he tends to be a gaffe machine. Whether or not those numbers are increasing or not, you'd have to go back and do more empirical work on this. But there's no doubt it's unfortunate from his perspective to be making the gaffes because they undercut his basic points, and his basic points, a very strong rebuke of the president and what the Republicans stand for at this point. So I think it raises issues for the Democrats in terms of what they're going to do. I'd also point out the president's made his share of gaffes in the past couple weeks. They're under pressure. They're trying to do things. But let's just shift for just a minute to go back to the Iowa State Fair and the importance of it. The fair has always symbolically been the kicking off point, the starting point for the campaign for the Iowa caucuses. This year started sooner with the earlier presidential debates. But the fair itself is symbolically important. You see the different ways the different candidates handled the fair, with Bernie Sanders being more detached, with Cory Booker spending time on the Ferris wheel and so forth and granting interviews. So you see the different candidates trying to figure out exactly what they want to do in Iowa and whether or not Iowa is going to be as important as it has been in the past, or whether or not we really are going to be looking more towards perhaps South Carolina and Nevada as the decisive contest in this nominating process. Also, just one other thing I'd like to point out, it is the summer. I think many of your listeners are also, you know, they're finishing up or taking their vacations, and they simply are distracted. They're listening for noise in the system rather than for substance at this point. And till we get more into campaign mode, which I think will happen after the first of the year as we get into the Democratic nomination and the Republican nomination, we fail to understand that this is very preliminary stages yet of the campaign. But I agree with you. The Iowa State Fair lasts for a week in preparations and so forth, and it's always been symbolic and important for the state of Iowa.
And with that being said, you know, the upcoming debate number 3, which is in Houston, I think it's the 12th and 13th of September, I think those are that is a big-time deal for Kamala Harris, who I believe will be the nominee when it's all said and done. I think she has to make a statement. She got taken down a few rungs on the ladder, let's put it that way, by Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard out of Hawaii. Very strong accusations as an attorney general, locking people up for marijuana possession left and right. You could kind of get a sense that Harris took one there. And she's going to have to rebound in a very strong way after she had made such strides in Miami. The whole thing with Joe Biden, back and forth, segregation, the whole thing as a little kid. In essence, I think she's going to have a big bounce back. I think she will, and I think she will gain momentum. And I state that on those two nights in Houston, that's going to be a very important time for Senator Harris.
I think it will be for Senator Harris. I think it will be for other candidates also. But remember, you still have other debates before you actually get your first round of things. I think one of her problems is, if you look at the nominating process itself with Iowa, then jumping to New Hampshire, and then going to South Carolina, if the South Carolina Democratic organization stays solidly behind Biden, I think it will be difficult for Harris to break through. So the question becomes what? I'd raise what I think is a more interesting possibility, and that is that the Democrats go through the spring without a clear choice, and they enter their convention next summer without a person who's going to win on the first or second ballot, and you go to multiple ballots. So we'll see what happens. A lot of things are trending at this point, and clearly the fight is between the progressives and the more moderate wing of the Democratic Party, and that has implications for the campaign. But we'll see what happens. I agree with you that Senator Harris did, after the first debate, done very well. Second debate, she was much more on the defensive in terms of having to respond. And you just don't know the dynamics of the debate now if we get to a single 10-candidate debate rather than a multiple number of debates.
No question. Let me throw one more at you. David Caputo with us. So tomorrow's the 14th. Yes. So tomorrow, David, the child victims 1-year window will open up right here in the state. Adults who suffered sexual abuse as children, they can file lawsuits starting tomorrow in cases going back decades. Very important. The measure we know faced very stiff opposition from the Catholic bishops, even the insurance industry. Who knows the ramifications that it will have as far as the Jeffrey Epstein estate. Very interesting how this finally came out. And listen, 13 years they were fighting for this, David Caputo, to finally come to fruition. Tomorrow will be a very big day, and I'll tell you, you're going to see an onslaught right starting tomorrow of these lawsuits coming into play, but an important one.
Yes, you would expect that to be the case, and again, it remains to be seen how many and what type of cases. Are the institutional cases against the church? Are the cases against individuals? So it is a milestone, and once again, New York sets a standard, and whether or not that standard is one that people will accept or not remains to be seen. We're in a very turbulent time domestically right now, and then you add in some of the international things that are going on, and there's a lot going on, a lot of things to derail some of the various major issues that are being faced.
No doubt. David, I'll ask you this. We have had strong conversations in the last week or so. The northeastern U.S. largest supplier of natural gas stopped processing new customer applications in the city here on Long Island. The Cuomo administration blocking this major pipeline project. It's the second moratorium to hit the state just this year as a result of Andrew Cuomo's opposition to natural gas pipelines needed to meet the growing demand in the state and the New England area. I find this fascinating, very much under the radar with very, very strong ramifications as far as what people will do going forward and how it is actually really hurting the industry of building and construction at this point in time. The question is, who blinks first? This is a very, very expensive game of chicken right now. Where do we see an outcome, if anything, here?
Well, I think it really reflects a series of issues revolving about energy production and energy movement. And till that gets resolved, I think the governor is going to maintain that the safety issues are amongst the most important, and he's protecting the public, and he'll use the various occurrences that have happened where natural gas pipelines have caused, especially the Canadian instances, have caused extreme damage and death. For the industry itself, they're confronted with wanting to get these pipelines built now before the demand is such that it can't be built. I mean, the demand can't be met. Has gross, great economic impact on the Northeast and the city and so forth. So my guess would be at some point there'll be some compromise, perhaps, but one never knows, and it has implications for alternative fuels and other things. So this is another indication of just the differences in American society right now and people in power being able to do different things.
I'll tell you, very interesting as far as an outcome here. We shall see. Hey, always a pleasure to have you. Good to catch up, and we'll see what the future holds in the next few weeks here.
Very good. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. The great Dr. David Caputo, Emeritus Pace, former political science professor over there at Pace University.